This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
There is one match in particular that I want to talk about.
You mean because it was awesome?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking, for me, the best match of Saturday, Sunday was...
Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. Oh, wait, what?
Oh, close second. The UK title match between Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
Absolutely.
That match was phenomenal. Like, I'm not surprised considering the people that were in it. That match was phenomenal, though. I mean, you know, their team with Trent Seven, British Strong Style, they're, you know, a three-man team. But right. So anytime you put the two of them together, it's a great match. I mean, you look at the UK tournament final where you had Tyler Bate against Pete Dunne. You look at, like, one of his first defenses, Tyler Bate against Trent Seven, and now Pete Dunne against Tyler Bate again for the belt. I mean, all great matches, but this one of the best matches I've ever seen between those two.
Yeah, and, like, the chemistry between them is totally undeniable.
Oh, yeah.
And, absolutely. I mean, they were pulling stuff out that I don't remember ever seeing before.
We've never seen Bate leave his feet like he did in this match, you know, like, in the WWE, like, in any of the matches he's had. I mean, it started out like that British, you know, catch-as-catch-can, you know, hold-for-hold mat-style wrestling, and then by the end, I mean, he's corked 450 corkscrew.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, my favorite part of the match was when it looked like he was going to go through the ropes, but ended up rebounding himself backwards, like with his arms over and his head and neck under.
Yeah,
like he suicide dived into the rope and sprung himself back. I'm like, what is going on? It was amazing.
I think amazing. I've seen. If I remember correctly, Kofi Kingston used to do that when he first came in.
You know what? I don't remember seeing it before.
It's been long enough probably that people don't remember, but I think I remember him seeing doing that. Or maybe I saw him when he was on the Indies up here in the Northeast doing that. But yeah, that was just, it popped. It popped the crowd. Did you know that TakeOver had a bigger crowd than Backlash?
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, like if you look, haven't released the number yet for Backlash.
Right.
For the attendance, but TakeOver, they've got 10,600.
Huh.
It's 18,000 seat arena. And they tarped off the upper deck for both shows.
Right.
But all signs are pointing that TakeOver had a bigger crowd than Backlash.
Jeez. They were both in the Allstate, right?
Yeah, both in the same venue. What's that say about the Backlash main event?
Well, you want to know what
it,
I said?
I'm doing the grimace face.
You want to know what I said about the Backlash main event?
What?
I went to bed after AJ Styles and Kevin Owens.
Let's go back to Tyler Bate against Pete Dunne. I love the finishing sequence of the match.
Oh, yeah.
That led into Dunne hitting his finisher and getting the three count. And I also love that when he went for it earlier, Bate reversed it into another move. They didn't do the thing where he hit his finish and Bate kicks out.
Yep.
Or, you know, Bate does the Tiger Driver 97 and Dunne kicks out. I like that they protected the finishers, and once he hit it, boom, the match was over.
Yep.
I thought it was great. I don't know. They just had a great match. I've watched it twice.
I've only watched it once, but I plan on giving it another go this weekend.
Get out of the road, turkey. Literally a turkey. Not just a bad driver. The Hideo Itami Bobby Roode match. I love the finishing sequence on that. When he hit the DDT, held on, rolled up, and hit it again.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever seen that. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's the stuff like that. And I mean, Bobby Roode selling the shoulder.
Yep.
And everything. You know, that... I'm going to be honest. I was not so impressed with Itami in this match.
But, I wasn't impressed with Hideo Itami in this match either, but...
But I enjoyed the match.
Yep.
I thought it was really good. I mean, Bobby Roode always puts on a good show. And Itami wasn't bad. but it wasn't, you know, main event-ish Itami that I was expecting.
No, I think the biggest problem with Itami is he came in with such fanfare, and everyone that knew him as Kenta thought, all right, here he is. He's coming in. He's going to, you know, kick ass and take names. And unfortunately, he's been sidelined with multiple injuries. What he has done in the ring hasn't been impressive.
Yeah.
And then Shinsuke Nakamura kind of came in and stole his thunder.
Yeah.
As being the, you know, the Japanese guy that came in that just got over like gangbusters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's
and,
true.
I mean, it's almost apropos that essentially Itami and Nakamura barely spent any time together in NXT.
Yeah, even though I guess they were both kind of there for...
for a year, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The rest of the NXT card, it wasn't my favorite show. And the main event, like... I don't want to dwell on the negative too much, but I'm going to say this. When they first put the belts up and they're hanging there, I'm looking at it, I'm like, the friggin' belts are way too low. I mean, the steps, the ladders, are practically touching the belts.
Yeah.
And that just screamed to me immediately the second I saw that. Yeah, they're going to do a spot with DIY hanging off the ladders. They're going to do that dumb finisher of theirs. Yeah, super destroyer, whatever they call it, and okay. Yeah, okay.
Speaking of that, when you're hanging by that thing, you should probably be able to hang by one hand, right?
Yep. And grab the belt with the other.
And grab the belt with the other. Like, why does no one ever do that?
Well, in the case of like D'Von Dudley, you're so far up. And you're afraid of heights. Okay, that makes sense because you're focusing on shit. I don't want to fall. Shit. You know what I mean? But when you're DIY and you're, you know,
three
six
and a
feet
half
off
feet
the
up.
Ground.
Well, I mean, their feet were like maybe 4 feet up.
You know? I mean, come on. Yeah, I just. Authors of Pain are just not a good. I mean, they're not a good tag team. They're not where they need to be yet. You know, to be having ladder matches and to be having 5-star, you know, even having 2-star matches.
Right.
You know, they just need to be squashing people still until they can build up and get better.
And there were some good spots in the match, but at the same time, like they all felt off. Like when Gargano and Ciampa went off the ladder onto the authors both laying on the ladders.
Yes.
I think the ladders were too close because both of them toppled over head first.
Yep. Yeah.
And the spot where Gargano pushed Ciampa out of the way and then took the ladder to the face.
Yeah.
Which looked brutal, by the way.
Oh, God, that looked so horrendous.
There was a delay. Like, the authors were about to go, and then you see them stop, reset, and then go.
Yeah.
Like, it looked, you know, why was like, he pushing him out of the way?
Like
if
Gargano,
he's just going to be able to sit there for 20 seconds before they get
like
moved.
Gargano had plenty of time to move out of the way himself.
Yeah.
And in fact, in my opinion, should have. When stuff like that happens, like when you're, okay, I understand, everyone understands wrestling, okay?
Right.
And you're supposed to be in your spot and you're supposed to do what they say and there's a plan and you're following it and on and on and on. But when something like that happens, because then you make yourself and your opponents and the match look stupid.
Right, you have to still make it look, you know, as realistic as you can.
Exactly. Because if not, you just make yourself and everything associated with that just look just stupid.
Yeah. And you knew something when the match ended and there were still... I mean, because I ended up watching it late.
Yeah.
I was out and then I got home. I watched the first half and then I watched the rest of it Sunday morning. I'm watching the takeover and the match ends and there's still 6 minutes left on the takeover.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, something's going to happen. You know, there's no way that they're going to give 6 minutes of the Authors of Pain standing with the belts.
I will say this. I did like the fact if you go back and watch it, the announcers are wrapping the show up. They even put the copyright logo up on the screen.
Yep.
In the lower left corner, you know, like they do to say signify the show's over. And then when Ciampa turned on Gargano, you know, the announcers stopped talking. That thing went away. And then we just watched the beatdown. And then they put it back up on the screen again when they were going to finally cut the cameras away. So I thought that was a good production value little, you know, I don't know. I thought that was good.
Yeah. No, I agree it was done well, but I hated it.
Yeah, I'm not.
Like the way the show is ending, you have the authors win the belts and they leave. And you have DIY in the ring getting a hero's welcome.
Yep.
You know, by the Chicago crowd who, I mean, I don't think they pop for anybody as much as they pop for them this weekend.
Nakamura's entrance, I think. I don't know. That'd be a close
second. That's true. That was close. Yeah.
That would be a close second. But that, and yeah, anyways, continue though.
But you have them and they're saying thank you and they're, you know, I mean, what better? I'm thinking, wow, they're going up to the big leagues.
Yeah.
You know, they're finally going to get the call up. This is going to be great. Gives another tag team, you know, up, give them some legitimacy. And then you got the Revival got to be coming back sometime.
Oh, man. I heard they were on Raw Monday night. They were backstage at Raw Monday. I can't wait for them to come back. I cannot wait for them to come back.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But, you know, I just want to see them fight forever, you know?
Yeah.
But, man, oh, man. And then the turn, and I'm like, so now this is going to keep them down at NXT as singles guys for at least through SummerSlam, because my guess is the two of them are going to headline Takeover Brooklyn.
Yeah, they'll build a program and they'll have a singles match at Takeover Brooklyn. Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, my assumption is that's going to be the main event over the title match, because I don't think they're going to build. I don't know who Bobby Roode's going to fight that would be more impressive than those two going. I mean, the match they had in the Cruiserweight Classic was amazing.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah, it was.
You know,
and that's going to be hard to top.
In a way, they have sort of been teasing the break since then.
Yep.
Because afterwards, you know, Chomp looked all pissed, and then the two of them hugged it out. And there have been
moments, they went on with the belts, and yeah.
You know, there have been moments like that since then. But I mean,
you know, if they're able to go back and like show video footage of the Cruiserweight Classic and moments like you're talking about since then as like a package as to why Ciampa turned, that'll be brilliant, because it's like, oh, they built this for a year,
right?
This turn before it happened. So that would be cool. I don't see them having another takeover between now and SummerSlam.
No, I don't think there is one.
Because it's only 3 months away, right?
Yeah.
June, July, August. 3 months away. 3 months is a great build between now and then to have these two guys, to have Ember Moon against Asuka, to have, I don't know, Bobby Roode against
Cesaro. I don't know
who he's going to fight.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's still too soon for someone like Roderick Strong. Or
probably. Although they have been building Roddy with those behind-the-scenes things.
Right, but I still think it's a little early for him to get into the world title picture.
Unless,
but Adam, I mean, at the same time, I thought the same thing of Jinder Mahal. So,
So, anyways, that being said, what'd you think of the Asuka, the ladies match for the NXT title?
It was better than I was expecting, because I think my problem right now with Asuka is she really is the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
And there isn't anyone since, you know, Bayley and Charlotte and Sasha and Becky Lynch all went up to the main roster. There really hasn't been another women's wrestler that I've legitimately thought could take her.
Yep.
You know?
And I agree.
And the ones they're, and I guess it shows in a way, because she does keep having, you know, a fatal four-way or a triple threat or something, you know, and there were times like the only way I could see her losing the belt now is a moment where, you know, Nikki Cross is about to pin Ruby Riott.
Yeah.
Or something with Asuka out of the ring, you know, like they haven't built them or, you know, the Australian ladies, they haven't built. To me, they're not up enough to where I legitimately think they have a chance to win the belt off of her.
Right.
You know, and I mean, maybe Ember Moon I don't know. I don't think that she's, you know, that she's really done a lot yet either.
No, I'm not a big fan of Ember Moon personally. I don't find her a believable threat. The only person in NXT right now that I find that could possibly be a believable threat to Asuka is Nikki Cross, because she has that wild, deranged, crazy thing going for her.
Right.
But they would need to build her. They would need to have her get some victories over some people.
Yeah. Instead of
Asuka. Yeah.
Instead of Asuka pinning both of them. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Asuka pinning both of them in the match. Just, you know.
And didn't she do that the last time?
No. In the Fatal 4-Way, she pinned Peyton Royce, I think. She just pinned one of them.
I thought one of them was on top of the other one.
Oh, possibly. She could have pinned both Australian girls.
Because Nikki Cross, she was knocked out by the announcer's table.
Hey, sorry, echo there. they have the Mae Young tournament coming up here.
Oh, yeah.
They announced that today, the Mae Young Classic, which I'm kind of glad they went with Mae Young instead of Fabulous Moolah. Because Moolah, to me, and it's nothing against Moolah, but like she has always been kind of like, if you go back to the golden age of wrestling with the WWE, it's always her. You know what I mean? She's always been the focal point of everything.
Right.
Even when her and Mae Young came back, Moolah got another title run. You know, yeah, off Ivory when she was 78 years old or whatever.
But, I mean, at the same time, Mae Young was 137.
Well, exactly. So I'm kind of glad they're doing the Mae Young Classic.
Did you see the trophy?
No, I didn't. What is it?
It is a giant rubber hand.
Oh, you're being a jerk. But I love it. I love you for that. 32-woman tournament. And the thing is, they're taping it in July, or at least the first half of it. So initially my thought, oh, well, they'll take the winner of the 32-woman tournament, and whoever wins will then, you know, challenge Asuka for the belt at, say, Brooklyn.
No, but it's going to go beyond that.
Exactly. It's going to go beyond that. So, but I wonder if they're going to have, like, they just signed a couple of great talents out of Stardom World over in Japan.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, I'm wondering if... If, like, can't even think of it. If that's where they're going to get their new contender and just have Asuka hold on to the title, then take on the winner of that at, like, TakeOver in Survivor Series. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's a way to easily elevate someone to credibility.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can have, if there's someone that goes through, you know, obviously four rounds, whatever they're doing.
Yeah,
and like well, 32
person
people.
Tournament. Yeah,
you know, and like someone's dominating through that. That's, you know, world class talent up and down that roster. You know, it's not like Braun Strowman getting a win against James Ellsworth.
Right, right.
You know, it's.
I'm wondering, because go ahead.
You know, so like you were saying, I think. I mean, if you have Asuka beat Ember Moon, and then you have before Survivor Series at the TakeOver then, Asuka goes up against the winner of the tournament. I mean, that you could legitimately see her, you know, losing to that person.
I mean, they built her as such a monster. Taylor Hendricks, no. They've built her as such... No, come on. No. they've built Asuka as such a monster.
Yeah.
That it is going to take someone who gets another huge build, and this tournament's the perfect way to give that someone a huge build.
Right. I mean, hey, even if you
and
have
I'm
Ember
not,
Moon in the tournament and she goes into the finals and wins the tournament, fine. You know,
see,
but
I'm not
I don't
even,
think
the
NXT people.
I'm not
are
even upset. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, are NXT people even going to be in there? Or is it?
Well, that was new? My thing. I wondered because when they did the Cruiserweight Classic, they brought in all new talent, and I think was it only Cedric?
Huh? Gargano and Ciampa were in it.
Those two, Tajiri, Brian Kendrick, past guys that came in. There was only one NXT guy that was in the tournament. Wasn't that Cedric Alexander?
No, it was Gargano and Ciampa.
No, well,
they were NXT guys then.
I thought there was one other. I thought there was one they made a big deal out of that he's been in NXT for a while and Gargano and Ciampa kind of just started. Gargano and Ciampa were in the Dusty Rhodes Classic in the spring, so I guess no, they didn't just start. But
yeah, but I know regardless. they did make a big deal out of Brian Kendrick coming back, and they made a big deal of Tajiri coming back.
They made a big deal of like Ibushi being in it, Zack Sabre Jr. being in it, and both of them lost. Like both of them, you know what I mean? Like I couldn't believe that TJ Perkins won the tournament.
Yeah.
And but whatever. I'm looking forward to see who's in it. I'm looking forward to see who they pull, where they bring people from. I'm curious if they're gonna have NXT talent in it or not. It would be interesting to see if they did who they did, because like a lot of the green girls or the young girls or whatever you want to call them that we've seen on NXT that have had like a match or two, like say Kimberly,
right?
You know, she's had a couple of matches on NXT. You know, she's lost to Ruby Riott. You know, she's not really going anywhere. That would probably be a good way to bring her in. You know, even if she doesn't win the tournament, just get her in the tournament, have her, you know, have a couple of good matches, maybe advance to the second round or something, whatever. I don't know. But like to get her seen as more than just quote unquote a jobber, if you will.
Right.
But it's tough to put girls in the tournament that you've been watching lose on TV. You know, and have them be
world champion.
Yeah. Sorry.
Keeps coming back.
I know. So Backlash.
Yes.
Because I guess we should talk about Backlash. I wasn't overly impressed with the Nakamura Ziggler match.
You know what? It felt like Nakamura was going half speed in the match.
Yeah, I don't know. They were just off. And they've had a lot of matches, and I've heard good stuff about their dark matches they've been having, but this match just seemed off. I mean, the fans were solidly behind Nakamura in this match.
Oh, yeah.
Solidly behind him, but it just felt off.
Yeah, I thought it was... I mean, Kevin Owens has basically been the show opener for the past many months. So I'm glad that they went... I think this was the right call to go first. Because you knew Nakamura was going to get a ridiculous welcome.
Well, and the fans wanted him so bad, give him to him, kind of quote unquote get it out of the way.
Yeah.
And the reaction he got was astounding. And it's just like you're watching it, and it's like, tell me this guy's not over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I can't wait to see him. I want to see Nakamura and Finn Balor at WrestleMania.
Dude, I want to see them have a match.
Just because that ring entrance is going to be half of the card. But if you have the demon slithering his way down a 700-yard ramp, and then Nakamura coming out, and by the time he gets to the bottom, he has, you know, 150 violinists with him.
I was thinking about that. Like, you couldn't, like, neither one of them could be anything but numbers 1 and 2 in the Royal Rumble, because by the time they get to the ring, the next guy's coming out.
Right.
The next guy's coming out and passing him to get in the ring by the time he gets in the ring.
That would actually be kind of funny.
That would be hilarious, actually.
If they're set on having weird comedy in matches like the Breezango match.
That was terrible.
I think having Shinsuke Nakamura coming down to the ring as, you know, number 7 or something. And then he's still working his way to the ring, and then number 8 comes out and looks and passes him and goes in. Number 9 comes out and goes, and Nakamura is still over by the crowd. Be amazing.
That'd be fantastic. I enjoyed Kevin Owens against AJ Styles. I even enjoyed the finish.
You know what? When the finish first happened, I was like, son of a bitch. They're totally screwing with me. And then I started thinking about it. And I'm like, you know what? This gives them a match at, you know, they'll have whatever the next SmackDown pay-per-view is, and chances are they're going to have their big blow-off at SummerSlam.
Yeah, isn't the next one Great Balls of Fire?
Is that SmackDown or is that Raw?
I don't know. The next pay-per-view is Extreme Rules, which is Raw. Right. And then the one after that's Battleground, which is also Raw. So I feel like Great Balls of Fire has got to be SmackDown.
Because I thought Great Balls of Fire was with Brock Lesnar, but I don't. Who knows?
I know. I thought Battleground was. You know, I don't know. Maybe Great Balls of Fire is Brock Lesnar, and Battleground is SmackDown. I don't know. I haven't looked, but I know what you're saying. Yes, I felt the same exact way. When the moment the finish happened, and he had his foot tangled up and everything, I thought, all right, I'm a fan. It's a count out. It's a count out because his leg got caught. I mean, I like how they did it. The table collapsed on him. That makes perfect sense. Like, it was all logical.
Yep.
His foot getting caught up in cords and everything, that makes sense too, because it's all, you know, those monitors on top and everything. So I liked it. I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. Again, it keeps it going, so we can see another match between the two. And maybe this one will be no count out.
That's the thing, yeah. And not only do we see another match, we see an angry AJ is like, you know, out for blood.
Money in the Bank is the next SmackDown pay-per-view, because I was going to talk about that later.
Oh, okay. But yeah,
AJ's out for blood.
You know, and not only that, how many times do you see like a legit count out?
Right. You don't.
You know? Never see it. So like the fact that he won by count out was great.
I've been saying... Exactly, it was great. I've been saying they need to bring back time limits. Like when they had the time limits in the tournament, the Cruiserweight tournament, I freaking loved it.
Yep.
We need to have time limits. Like you put those guys in a 20-minute time limit match and to have a time limit draw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those guys can do a 20-minute time limit draw.
Don't even have it close to one of them pinning the other. Like not like a cheap at the end. One of them gets to a 2.5 count before.
Oh, he thinks he... Yeah. You know, have a time limit draw.
Just have them... Have them beat each other, have them both tired, have them both, you know, just staring at each other at the end of 20 minutes. Like, what else could I possibly do when you're still standing?
Yeah, have a time limit draw between the two of them, and then, or have an Iron Man match where no one gets a fall.
Oh, yeah.
That was the brilliance of the first Iron Man match when Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart went 60 minutes without a fall.
Yep.
And they forced them into the overtime. Okay. I think they should have gone 5 more minutes before they got the pin, by the way, but that's just me. But when you have like a 30-minute Iron Man match and it's 7 falls to 6, it's like, come on.
Right.
That's garbage. So have these guys have a 20-minute time limit draw match. Do it on SmackDown so you can take commercials or whatever if you want, but have them go to a time limit draw. And then now you have a match where they have no count out, no time limit, you know, must be a winner.
Yeah.
And you just have a great match. You don't even have to have a no disqualification factor in there. So now it's a street fighter. They use weapons, this, that. Just no count out, no time limit, you know, one fall to a finish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And those guys can put on a hell of a wrestling match.
Yeah. I mean, they're two fantastic workers.
Absolutely, they are. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I don't know. They've never crossed paths before this, have they?
AJ Styles and Kevin Owens? Yeah, they've wrestled before on the independents.
Have they? Oh, okay.
I believe they had a match. I believe they have. I mean, well, you know what? I can't say for certain, but I assume that Kevin Steen and AJ Styles paths crossed somewhere. Ring of Honor, PWG.
When was AJ with Ring of Honor, though?
He was with Ring of Honor back a couple of times.
Was he? Oh, okay. Because I know, I mean, he spent a decade with TNA, so I always... Yeah, just sort of assume he missed a lot of the people coming around.
The first kind of like 5 years of TNA, Ring of Honor and TNA worked together, though. And like you'd see some TNA talent in Ring of Honor because Ring of Honor didn't have national TV then. What started when Ring of Honor first got on HDNet.
Right,
and started doing real pay-per-views and not iPay-per-views or whatever. Yeah. That's when you saw the TNA talent not appearing on Ring of Honor anymore.
Right, you are correct.
Yeah, because then, okay, now there's national TV, now they're doing pay-per-views, whatever. So, because I remember, like, in 2012, I went to a Pro Wrestling Syndicate show down in Rahway, New Jersey. And I know I've said this before, but it was an iPay-per-view. But you had 4 guys on the card that were actively in Ring of Honor. They could not be on the iPay-per-view. So the opening match was a quote-unquote dark match with Adam Cole and Davey Richards against the Briscoe Brothers.
Right.
Dark opening match. I mean, that's crazy. So, but anyhow, the next pay-per-view is Money in the Bank for SmackDown because they're going to have a Money in the Bank women's match.
Yeah, I
and
saw
that. That sounds phenomenal.
No,
until
it does
you
not.
Think about it's Charlotte, yay, Becky Lynch, yay. Oh, it's Naomi, Natalya.
No, well, Naomi wouldn't be in it. because she's the title holder. So the only saving grace is that she's not going to be in the match.
Okay, so then who's your sixth? Or do you just have a five?
They'll just have five unless Lana shows up by then.
Yeah. Or Asuka makes her debut and wins the thing and then goes and kicks Naomi's face in and then...
That wouldn't even be fair.
How the 32-woman tournament is for the vacant NXT Women's Championship. And Asuka is the SmackDown Women's Champion. And then her and Charlotte have a match that just main event SummerSlam because, really, it should.
Yeah. Well, you... Okay. You would have... Charlotte and Asuka. You would have KO and AJ. And you could have Baylor and Nakamura. As your three, as what should be the three headlining matches, but what when will be the headline match? It'll be Jinder Roman Mahal against Mojo Rawley. It'll be Brock Lesnar against Roman Reigns, and then I don't even know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I mean, man, I'd love to see those three matches.
Yeah, I would me too. I think we need to address the monkey in the room, which is, or the elephant in the room, whatever you want to call it, which is Jinder Mahal winning the WWE Championship. And I'm just going to start out by saying, I don't have a problem with somebody new coming in that we haven't seen in the title picture, getting a title shot, winning the belt, or whatever. I love it. I think it's great. You know, I mean,
that's Paige.
Exactly. However, I have an issue when the person 2 months ago was a jobber. And spent the entire five whatever years he was in WWE as a jobber.
Yep.
And barely was on TV. And when he was losing in 2 minutes. And then all of a sudden he comes in and he wins the number one contender match. Then with help. And then with help beats AJ Styles, which that just doesn't sound right. And then wins the title with help. And the reason why he's winning the title is because he has Indian heritage from India. Because they want to break into the India market over there. And first of all, he has India heritage, you know. And his uncle is the great Gema Singh, who is tremendously huge and over in India, but was Canadian. And Jinder Mahal is Canadian from Calgary.
No, Alberta, it's impossible.
Right?
He's from India. He even speaks Punjabi.
No, he's from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And so that's my problem. They put the belt on him for political reasons and not like backstage politics, but because they want to break into a foreign market. That's my problem with him winning the belt. If they would have taken some time, and he's a heel, they want to break into a foreign market and they do so by putting the belt on a heel foreigner.
You know
what,
though? The
evil foreigner gimmick.
Look at Bret Hart when he was the champion. And he was a heel, and he was getting booed and booed and booed in America. And then they do a show up in Canada, and I mean, it was most over.
You think they're gonna have a SmackDown Live from India?
No, not at all. But you know, they'll have live shows,
right?
You know, I mean, aren't they doing a tour or something over there?
I don't know. I would only assume so. I don't know. I know SmackDown. I mean, Impact is next week. I know Impact's going to be there next week doing a tour. I don't know when WWE's going to be doing a tour. Impact Wrestling, it's a league based out of Orlando, Florida.
Never heard of it.
It used to be called TNA. You said TNA earlier, so you're familiar with them.
Nah, I don't think I am.
You did. You talked about Ring of Honor and TNA like 5 minutes ago.
Doesn't sound familiar.
All right, denial. But anyway, it's not just a river in Egypt. So, that was cheesy as shit. So, it was bad. So again, I don't have a problem with him putting a belt on somebody new. That's not it. And I don't have a problem per se with Jinder Mahal either, you know? It's just how he's perceived by the fans. In my opinion, WWE just put their top title on who the fans perceive as jobber. If they would have taken 5 months to build him up and made him credible, and then he wins the belt, okay, I'm cool with that.
And actually beat people on his own.
Yeah. If he would have won Money in the Bank even, and then gotten a cheap win to win the belt, okay, That can happen. But it's just the way they did it. I mean, did you see the fans? I almost feel
no,
like...
I told you, I went to bed after KO and Styles.
You haven't watched it even since then.
No. I have no intention to.
The fans' reaction was similar to when Brock Lesnar beat Undertaker at WrestleMania. As far as a what? What? Like, except that's a bad comparison because I don't want to belittle that reaction that the fans had when Brock Lesnar beat Taker, because that was total bewilderment and disbelief.
Right.
This was a big what the fuck moment. Like,
oh, come on, kind of deal.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Exactly. It was just like, okay, as opposed to complete disbelief.
Right.
But I don't know. Someone uploaded a clip on Facebook. Someone had grabbed the audio from the India announce team.
Okay.
And I don't know what they were saying until they were chanting India number one, number one, India number one. It was kind of comical, really.
See, though? Number one market for SmackDown now.
You know, there's a billion people in India, okay? There's a huge audience there for, I get it. That's why we had the great Kali. That's why we suffered through the great Kali being world heavyweight champion, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just, good for Jinder, I guess. I heard him on Talk as Jericho. Seems like a nice guy, but it's not him personally. It's just his position on the card, where it was and what happened and everything. It's just, it's right. Not like if you took, say, someone like, and I don't have a great example right this second, but say like Sami Zayn. Okay.
Okay.
Sami Zayn's not a jobber, let's just say, but he's not positioned best, you know?
Right.
If he would have won that number one contenders match and then went on to win the title, like, that would have been someone who is, you know, loved, fan favorite, elevated, on and on and on.
Well, that's the thing. He's one of those guys, no matter how many times he loses, he never looks ridiculous in his loss.
Right, exactly.
And the fans love him.
Oh, yeah,
whereas
absolutely.
Whereas a member of 3MB is now the WWE World Champion, and he never had his Heath Slater run.
Exactly. Well, look at Drew Galloway or Drew McIntyre down in NXT right now. We were talking about NXT a little while ago. I mean, he's returned to NXT. First of all, when 3MB left, I don't remember hearing anything about Jinder on the independents at all doing anything. If he did, maybe. I remember hearing on Talk as Jericho, I guess he did some stuff in India with the great Kali, where he booked shows over there for him and brought, you know, foreign talent into Russell Kali and on and on and on, including Brody Steele from Canadian Maritimes and whatnot. But like, I don't remember, but I saw Drew Galloway all over the place. You know, he was in TNA. He was in PWG. He was in Rev Pro. You know, he was AAW, AIW, Beyond Wrestling. I mean, he was all over the place having some pretty sick matches with a lot of people, you know, like rebuilding his brand, rebuilding himself after being diminished so badly in the WWE. From his debut and everything, and now he's down at NXT, and you know, he's had some really good matches with Cien Almos and Oni Lorcan and whatnot down in NXT, like really hard, stiff, good matches. So, you know, I could actually, we were talking about earlier, who's the next contender for Bobby Roode? Maybe it's gonna be Drew McIntyre.
Maybe, yeah.
All I know is Bobby Roode, like, maybe he's having fun down in NXT. I don't know where he would fit in on Raw or SmackDown, but you know, I gotta say we're gonna see him up there sooner than later. I feel like.
I would only assume.
I mean, legitimately, he's 40 years old now, which is not a death sentence by any means, but I mean, I could totally see Bobby Roode with the WWE Championship around his waist. You know.
Yeah.
He's just that good, that polished, and that believable of a champion to me.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I would just love to see him up there having some kick-ass matches with people. Yeah.
I'm just at a loss.
Yeah, well, It was a weird weekend for the WWE, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Did you watch the UK special that they aired last Friday?
No, not yet.
See, I almost kind of forgot about it, but I definitely want to check it out. It's 99 minutes long, according to the Beyond Demand thing. They had a couple 205 live matches on there. Okay. I don't really care about watching those, honestly. But, like, you know, we got Trent Seven against Pete Dunne.
Okay.
That's going to be a great match, I imagine. Joseph Connors against Wolfgang's opening the show. You know, you got Tyler Bate defending against Mark Andrews in the main event. Obviously, we know who wins that match. But still, should be some good matches.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to watch that here sooner than later.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get to it. I just haven't had a chance.
Yeah, no, I understand. I just didn't know if you had checked it out yet.
Yeah, I read a couple reports about it, but that was it.
Yeah, well, because they taped it a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyhow, you got anything else you want to talk about? Current wrestling related?
No, I don't think so.
Past wrestling related?
Past wrestling related? You know what? I didn't really have a chance to try and think of something fun to talk about this week.
Yeah.
I've been too busy dealing with horrific sunburn.
Well, I'm going to talk about something non-wrestling related. So all you wrestling fans out there, if you don't want to hear me talk about Twin Peaks, then I'm sorry. But I need to talk to Aaron about Twin Peaks. Aaron?
Yes.
I never watched Twin Peaks before.
What is Twin Peaks?
It's one of your favorite shows.
Oh, that Twin Peaks. I thought you were talking about mountains.
No. I'm not talking about mountains. I'm not talking about boobs.
That it was some kind of
talking main, about the David Lynch thing. TV series from the 1990. Yes. I never watched it before in its original run. And I had this, and I know you like it a lot.
Yes.
And I felt the need. I want to watch this show. So I've now watched the first four episodes, which I didn't realize episode one was an hour and a half long until I started watching it. I've now watched the first four episodes, and I got to ask, what is it you – and no spoilers, please, because I honestly don't know how it ends, whatever. What is it you love so much about the show?
Okay. What I love so much about the show is how completely ridiculous and awkward every single interaction is between everybody.
Okay, that's why I love the show. All right.
That every bit of that show – I mean, it seems to outdo itself with how weird the next person you meet is going to be.
Everything is so over the top. Like, the drama, the screaming, wailing.
Oh, yeah.
When Laura's mother finds out her daughter's dead and can't handle it. Watching Ray Wise dive on top of his daughter's coffin.
Yeah.
And then the malfunction just keeps rising up and down in the grave.
You have no idea. How nuts it goes from there.
Like, I'm just watching. And the thing is, nobody finds anyone's behavior odd.
Yeah.
Like, everyone is just completely accepting of everyone's behavior. They're completely okay with how people are acting and what they're doing. Everything just seems normal. I keep waiting for someone to, like, look at the camera and wink. Or look at someone else and be like, what's wrong with this guy? But no, they're just like...
This is like vintage David Lynch.
The music is at times horrendous.
You are completely wrong.
It really is. But I don't mean that in like a...
Listen.
It's so bad it's good.
No, but
that's what I mean by that.
Through the eyes of 1992.
Well, it came out in 1990, so why would I do that?
Was it 90 or 92? Because it was 25 years ago.
1990.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I'm pretty positive. Well, at least Netflix says it's 1990.
Okay, it's probably 1990 then.
But the music to me is like bad soap opera music. And I'm not saying I hate it. When I say it's horrendous, what I'm trying to say is it's so bad it's good.
Right.
Like, it fits with how everyone's acting. It fits with the drama.
90 and 91, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it fits with the theme of the show. And it's so weird because I watch it, and there's a part of me that's like,
I should not be enjoying this. Like, I feel like I shouldn't like this, but yet I do.
Because it's awesome.
It really is. I don't get. And I think one of the other things that I really like it about a lot, one of the other things that's really appealing to me, is the
you
fact
have no
that
idea what's going on.
Oh, it's very hard to follow sometimes. No, there's no cell phones.
Right.
I don't know why, but I'm loving that there's no cell phones. The look and the feel of the show reminds me of the first season of The X-Files because it came out about the same time. You know, X-Files came out a couple years later. But as far as just like, you know, it's I don't know. There's something about it where even though it was filmed in the 1990s, you could be watching it now like it was filmed now, but they're just saying it took place then.
Right.
So it could be a quote unquote period piece because it holds up somehow.
So,
and I think it's because the acting is the way it is with the over the top drama and the ridiculousness. So it holds up still.
Yeah. What made you decide to watch it now? Is it because it came back?
It's
just one of those things.
It's one of those things I've actually wanted to watch for a long time because it's like, I kind of like, I guess I'm not gonna say I pride myself on being up with the cult TV stuff or you know what I mean, the out of the normal stuff. I think the big drive was you liking it so much and you talking about it because I had wanted to watch it for a while and it was just like I haven't found the right time or I haven't gotten around to it or whatever it is. And then with the new series coming up, it's like I actually really want to watch it.
Right.
And so I'm like, but I feel like if I'm going to watch the new series, I really need to watch the original series first.
I agree completely.
Yeah. Because you have the DVDs, right?
Yes, I do.
Now, I've heard that the movie that came out after is completely terrible.
Yeah. Fire Walk With Me is not great.
Is it worth trying to find it to watch it?
See,
because the series is on Netflix. That's what I'm watching it on is Netflix.
Okay.
But the movie's not.
Interesting.
Yeah. That, or if it is, they've tucked it into like the season and I don't realize it's like at the end of the series type of thing.
No, I honestly don't think that they did.
Yeah. Because it's 30 episodes and I'm pretty sure that was the run.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is it worth trying to find to watch?
I mean, it does sort of put a bow on the series.
Okay.
But, I mean, same time, I don't know.
let me ask you this. When you sit down and rewatch the series,
yes.
Because you do that for sure occasionally, right?
You are correct.
Do you watch the movie as well? Or do you skip it?
I'll put it like this. I've seen the movie probably 4 times.
Yeah.
I saw it when it came out originally. I saw it again when all the DVDs.
Was that in the theater?
You know what? I have a memory of seeing it in the theater.
Yeah.
But I could be completely making this up.
Okay. Fair enough.
Now I'm curious. I wonder if it was in the theater. I'm looking up the box office numbers to see. But when I watched the show, when I got the DVDs,
yep.
It was, like eventually the movie came out a little while later and I did get it and I watched it again. And then my wife had never seen the show. So she's like, you know what? I'd like to watch Twin Peaks. And I said, sure. And we sat down and we watched all of Twin Peaks. And she's like, I want to watch the movie. I'm like, you don't want to watch the movie. She's like, I need to watch it. And we ended up watching it together. And I want to say I watched it one other time since then. Because it happened to be on TV or like something random like that. And I was like, you know what? What the heck? I'll throw it on. You know, I'm going to bed anyway. I'll just leave it on and watch it. But
you know, it's kind of like when I rewatch The X-Files. Because that's, by the way, when I make the decision to rewatch The X-Files,
it wasn't in the theaters.
It was, okay.
Yeah, it made just over $4 million. So my memory is probably I did end up seeing it in the theater with my father.
Okay, there you go then. When I do watch The X-Files, rewatch him. And that is, by the way, a big undertaking when you decide to rewatch 9 seasons of a TV show and 2 movies. I guess technically now 10 seasons. But anyways, I always watch the second movie as well, even though, like, it's just kind of like a kind of a, would you call it a letdown?
Well, I never watched the X-Files, so.
You need to.
So it was not a letdown because I didn't like the show, so.
How could you not like the show?
Didn't we have this conversation?
We're having it again.
Okay.
Got to go into work in a few minutes, but we're going to have it again. How did you not like the show?
I told you. I watched like an episode or two and I was like, eh, whatever. And I ignored it. And friends of mine were obsessed with the show.
Yeah.
They're like, you have to watch this. You have to watch this. I was like, all right. So I sat down to watch it, and it was the episode that Stephen King wrote with the doll.
Oh, man, that's why.
And I was like, that episode sucked. And they're like, all right.
Yeah,
all right.
You're right.
And then a couple months later, they're like, you need to watch X-Files. Just watch it again. And I was like, all right, fine. And I was with them, and we sat down to watch it whatever night it was on. Sunday, maybe? Thursday? I don't know.
It's on Sunday nights.
Okay. And we sat down to watch it, and it was a repeat of the Stephen King episode with the doll.
Jesus.
And I was like, guys,
bad timing.
Fuck this. Like, no offense. This show is terrible. This is the same episode I've seen. And about a year or so later, they had convinced me again. They're like, just, you know, come on. Just watch it. You know, give it one more chance. And I'll be friggin' damned. It was the same goddamn episode on a repeat again.
Why don't they buy a DVD and throw a DVD in for you, for crying out loud?
You know what? They probably had it on VHS. And it might have been they were watching through and I happened to come over when they got to that episode.
Yep.
But whatever I was like, you know what? This is now 3 times I've seen this same garbage. It was bad the first time. I'm no longer giving the show a chance.
That's not a good episode. They never released the complete series on or seasons on VHS. They would and I don't remember that being on one of the collections because they were releasing the DVDs, I think, by the time that episode came out. But I remember I had one X-Files VHS collection. It was 3 discs. It was 6 episodes. It had the pilot episode on there, actually. It had the first – had basically – there was all from the first season. Those 6 episodes were a bunch.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I was not impressed. And, I mean, it's been – I don't know, 15, 20 years since it started. And you know what? I just don't even care.
Since X-Files ended in 2001. Started in 93.
Really?
Yeah, started in 93, 92, 93. So yeah.
Yeah, 25 years.
Yeah, exactly, since it started. So, well, I'm not going to press you into watching it because, well, it's 209 episodes and 2 movies now, and that's a big undertaking.
Listen, I'm not one to ever not go for watching a ridiculous amount of TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, like every year or so, my wife and I'll sit down and rewatch like a bunch of the classic HBO shows, where we will just go through watching Sopranos and 6 Feet Under and Oz and, you know, stuff like that again. And I mean, it's not 200 episodes, but we've probably watched them each at least 8 or 9 times.
Boy, Oz, I haven't watched that in a long time.
You know, the last time we watched that one was when my wife was pregnant with our first child and she was kind of on bed rest and she couldn't really do much of anything.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, I have all of Oz on DVD. And she goes, we haven't watched Oz since it ended and we should watch this. And I was like, heck yes, we should.
It ended very unsatisfactorily.
Yeah, the last season was not good.
Yeah, it ended very unsatisfactorily. I wasn't a big fan of it. I was truly hoping for something better, for it to end in a better way.
Yep.
Or get a movie or something to finish it all out.
Yeah, no, the ending of the show was very disappointing.
Yeah. Not as disappointing as Dexter.
Dexter was disappointing after season 4. From then
or How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Because How I Met Your Mother was disappointing for the simple fact that they basically said, oh, the whole show isn't about how he met your mother. It's how he met your mother. And
how he got over your mother and still ended up with Robin.
It ended up with Robin, yeah.
Yep.
Way to go, producers. Way to screw the fans.
Yep. And they had that scene filmed like 2 years into the show.
Yeah. Very frustrating there.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I guess that's about it for me.
Oh, that's what I can talk about. That's
what?
TV related and also wrestling related.
Okay.
Did you watch the trailer for the Netflix Glow series?
I did. I watched the new extended trailer, and I'm very, very excited about watching the show.
It is totally different than what I was expecting.
What were you expecting?
I don't really know. I sort of expected it to be more, not documentary based, but I sort of expected it to be more of like a serious look
at
the thing. But it is just completely over the top. It's like a league of their own for Glow.
Yes. Yes, you're right. That's a very good way of comparing the two. I didn't realize that Awesome Kong or Amazing Kong or Kia Stevens or Karma, whatever you want to call her, I didn't realize that she was going to be in the show. But she's on the show as one of the Glow Girls.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, just from watching that extended trailer, there was a lot of elements of that show that I saw that were taken from the actual, like, history and creation of Glow. Because there's a documentary. It might still be on Netflix. I don't know. I think you can watch it for free on YouTube.
Glow. Yeah, I was just talking to somebody about it the other day. I didn't even know that this existed until I saw the trailer for this.
Oh, yeah. I've watched it like 2 or 3 times.
And then someone the next day was like, oh my God, I just watched this Glow thing. I was like, wait, the show's out? How is that even possible? I just saw the trailer. I'm like, no, it's a documentary.
It's a really, really well-done documentary. You should really watch it before you watch the series.
It is definitely on my list of things.
Because if you watch the documentary, you'll see things that, and then you watch the trailer again, you'll be like, oh, that person's that person. That person's that person. Oh, that person really did have a crush on the promoter.
Right.
You know, just from the things you've seen in the trailer, after you're watching the documentary and you watch this trailer, you'll be like, they really did a good job. At least, okay, based on the trailer, they really did a good job capturing the essence that was Glow into this series. So, all right. Well, I'm at work, so we're going to have to wrap it up now.
Sure.
But yeah, cool. Thanks. I guess you can find me on the old Twitter. I'm at SuperstarML.
I am at Aaron S. Bell. The show is at 1000 Holds Pod. Right?
Heck yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1000 holds of pods.
Yes.
That's how you can find it. You can find us on the Facebook at Podcast of 1000 Holds.
Correct.
And yeah, I guess that's everything.
That sounds like everything.
Cool, thanks.